Go ahead and be turning with me in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. We are thankful to see each one here this morning. Glad to have visitors in the house. And certainly that's been the case here. Seems like the entire year, God has blessed us to see many visitors. And we're glad that you're here. And I can say on behalf of Mars Hill, we're already blessed just seeing you be here. But I trust that you can leave here and say it has been good to be at Mars Hill, that God has blessed you in being here. And certainly I believe that it's God that brought us here together. Even if you had some intention, God had intentions as well. And He brought us here. And I've just reminded us this, as far as the church, you know, it's not just going to church. It's not just going to a building that where people gather on Sundays, but rather it's to come to a place that is the pillar and ground for the truth. And if there's anything this world needs, we need truth. We don't need lies. We don't need fluff. We don't need to be flattered. We need the truth of God's Word. And God's Word is truth. And He said, let Him be true and every man be a liar. And so you pay attention because you need to make sure I'm telling you what God wants me to tell you. So you search the Scriptures. See if it's of God or not. And let the Lord lead you this morning. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm going to ask you to pray especially for me this morning. I know we've already had prayer. We've already had prayer requests. But I have got a great burden on my heart. It's one going to be a little different this morning. I'll let you know up front. I want to lift up our young people in our eyes. Not that we're trying to worship them. I believe that some people have come to a place about worship the young people in their religious gatherings. We're not trying to worship them, but rather we want to instruct them and we want to be stepping stones for them. So I want to lift them up in our eyes. And more than anything, I want to show us our responsibility to them. Our responsibility, if you're a mother, if you're a father. I believe this. I believe God gives responsibility to an uncle. I believe God gives responsibility to an aunt. I believe He gives responsibilities to grandparents. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, grandparents will bugger that up because we say, oh, they're so precious. And we'll let that cloud our judgment. But more than anything, these young people need the truth, and they need to see stability, and they need to see us bear our responsibility. Whether you an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, whether you just a church member, you're still an example and to be a pillar and ground for the truth in the eyes of these young people. And so I want to lift them up this morning. And I struggled with bringing it. You know, when it first was in my mind, I thought, well, that's almost a rated PG-13 message at least, just considering the gruesome thing we're going to read about. But I'm going to try, I say that kind of jokingly, I'm going to try to be very vague on some things that I need to be vague on. And I'm going to be blunt on some things that the Lord wants me to bring out this morning. So you pray for me that I can find that balance. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 26. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, out of the wine press. And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. And we boiled my son and did eat him. I'm going to tell you, that's hard to even read. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. We're going to cease reading right here this morning. Times were tough in Samaria, let me tell you. Famine had overtaken this city, a walled city, and they had the enemy come to the gate and besiege them, and they wasn't letting anybody in or out, and so they had no way to bring provisions into the camp. into the city. And so people were slowly starving to death. They were selling an ass's head or donkey's head. They were selling that for food. Somebody said, well, I can't eat liver. You just ain't got hungry enough yet, let me tell you. Because you can eat a lot of things that you don't realize you can. We're just spoiled because we've been blessed. But they were also eating dove's dung. So that's pretty low on our choices. If we were going to go look at the menu, that would be last on the list, I'm sure. But that's where these people were. And not only were they eating it, they were paying good money for it. They were in a bind. And so times were tough in Samaria during this great famine. And Brother Calvin, I've known some hard times in my life as well. And everybody here, we can say that. We've known hard times. If not, you can remember back in stories that Grandpa told you or Grandma told you or Aunt told you or somebody's told you about hard times. But most of us, we can say, yeah, I've had some pretty hard times myself, Brother Brad. And look, I remember a time once in my childhood when Daddy had been hurt for a while and out of a job, and wages were not flowing at our house, that I remember looking in the cabinet. Mama was at working in the cafeteria trying to make ends meet. And I said, Mama, we don't have anything to eat. She said, look in the cabinet and get whatever's in the cabinet and go out to the freezer and get whatever's out there that you can find and put that on to cook. And I looked in the cabinet and there was a can of beans. Now, I'm not making this up, but look, I didn't live back in the Great Depression, but I did live in a time where there was some great poor people. And we were some of them at that time, just for a moment in life. That way, there's a can of beans in the cabinet. That was the last can of beans, but that was it. And so I put it in the pot, began to cook it, and I went out to the freezer, and there was two or three things that were frozen. It looked a little bit freezer burnt, just ice all over it, and it looked like meat. So I put it on. I don't even remember what kind it was, Brother Josh, but it was some kind of meat. So we had meat and beans. And the next day, she was able to get some groceries, and we moved on from there. But I thought, my goodness, nobody's ever had it this bad. You know, whenever you're having hard times, it's very easy to feel like nobody has ever had it this bad. Well, I tell you what, you just don't know what I'm going through. And woe is me. And mankind, we are very, very good at throwing ourselves a pity party. And I'm just in trouble. Nobody's ever suffered like I suffer. And so I remember times like that. I remember the Salvation Army that year had to bring us Christmas gifts. Today we fuss over what we're getting everybody and what's going to be the Dirty Santa gift. And all these, I mean, my goodness, we buy so many gifts now. It's a different day we live in now than it was a few years ago. And I know some of you older would say, well, Brother Brad, you ain't never seen anything bad. I remember a story about my grandma's sister, I believe it was, got a pigtail for Christmas. She thought it was a pen. She wanted a fountain pen, and they wrapped up a pigtail. And they said, well, at least she'll be happy till Christmas. And when she opened it, it was a pigtail. And I mean, I've heard some stories, some hard times. And not only that, just being poor, but also, you know, I've seen the loss of family. That's been some hard times. You lose family, that's hard times. During my ministry, I've dealt with suicide. During my childhood, I've had family commit suicide. That's hard times to deal with. Financial hardships, you know, just in my teen years doing some things I shouldn't do. I went through some hard times because I was a very rebellious young man as a teenager. On and on we could go. I'm not going to just sit here and fill you with stories this morning. But I want you to understand, probably every one of us can identify, Brother Brad, I know something about hard times. And even me telling you a few things maybe triggered your mind. You say, well, I tell you what, I could tell you some stories that you wouldn't believe. And you're probably right. That being said, there's no doubt this woman that said, woe is me, King. I need your help, King. this woman, this particular woman, was having a hard time. She's having a hard time. What aileth thee? Well, I tell you what, King, I had an agreement with a woman. I'm going to stop right here. You better be careful who you're hanging out with. You better be paying attention to the people that's influencing you, the people that's counseling you, the people said this over here is a good idea. I was talking with this woman, and we decided together that we would eat my son. And then the next day, we'd eat hers. You better be very careful who you get counsel from. You better be very careful you have, that you're listening to, and they're listening to you. And, oh, honey, I identify with you, and I see where you're coming from, and what you're saying makes sense. God give us His Word. Don't ever forget that. We studied the perfect Word of God this morning, the infallible Word of God, the inerrant Word of God. That's our Sunday school lesson. You will never be steered wrong looking at Scripture. Never. But you get to listen to somebody, and they'll tell, I tell you what, I know better than what God said. I know what better than people down in church say. I know better. And you'll hear that, and all that. That comforts you because, oh, she sees where I'm coming from. She knows where I'm coming. He knows where I'm coming from. Well, he's listening to me. And so they sat here and, what aileth thee? Well, I had this woman. We said we'd eat my son today. We'd also had an agreement that we would do the same thing for her son, to her son, tomorrow. I believe she could have went on and on, but I tell you, she lost the king at that moment. He went and put on some sackcloth. It's time to get serious with God about what we're going through, because this is evil. This is ridiculous. This is unheard of. This is ungodly. This is terrible to hear what I'm hearing. But I believe this woman could have went on and on. And I tell you, King, it's so bad. Times are so hard. My husband's run off, or I don't know if she had a husband. Where was he at? I don't know. I shacked up and come up with child, and boy, you know, things are so bad. That husband's useless, or that husband's a no-show, or whatever the case may be. She'd say all kind of things. She could have said, King, I just can't bring myself to eat doves, dog. I'm sure that'd be hard. I just can't pallet the old donkey head. I mean, and I'm one of these animal rights activists. That's just inhumane. Don't that sound about like our society today? Let's save the eagles, and let's save the dolphins, and let's save everything else, and let's slaughter the children. I'm one of these animal rights. I can't eat that donkey's head. That thing's pitiful. I mean, that's murder. She might look and said, I can't eat that dove's dung. It makes me break out. I have allergies whenever I eat that. I tell you, we use them. Pitiful excuses in our day and time, brother. Oh, I got this allergy and that allergy and that. I tell you what, Brother Joe Lott, I heard him say one time, if you got allergies and you're allergic to oak, what you need to do is go roll around in some oak limbs for a while. You need to go roll around in some oak leaves until, you know, that's what they do. If they give you allergy shots, they just pump you full of it until you get immune to it. And look, I'm not trying to be over much. I know people have allergies. I do. Probably a lot of it's got to do with we stay inside more, and we run air conditioner and heat and all that, and we don't get it, expose ourselves to it like we used to. People used to deal with it, blow their nose on the ground to keep on. I'm not trying to be ugly, but just keep right on going. We have all kind of excuses though, and this woman could have had them. You know, she could have went on and on. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, I know I had. Well, lady, have you been praying about this? I'm probably not praying like I should. Have you been to church lately?
I kind of laying out of church. I
know I should be there. You pray for me. We use that "you pray for me" way too much. I'm not trying to be ugly with that, but if you don't intend on praying, and you don't intend on looking to the Lord, you don't need to throw that out as an excuse. Pray for me.
Well, first of all, you pray for yourself.
And then, let people pray for you. I'm not saying you shouldn't ask people to pray, but you should trust in the Lord when you're praying too. It's not a last resort. It's a great power. Let's pray to the Lord. And let's mean it. Because I believe this, you get on your knees and really get serious with God, God will help you out of hard times. He will. I've seen it. I'm in a bind. This woman could, look, King, I'm in a bind. She was. What was her bind? What was her bind? We ate my son, and we plan on eating her son, and he's missing. Where's the sympathy for her son? You're okay with that, and let's go ahead and let's get the next one too. Where's the sympathy at? In the last days, people be born without natural affection. I won't tell you what, there was some of that there on that day. There was no natural affection. Well, Brother Brad, you just never been that hungry. I won't tell you what, I hope I'm never that far away from God. God was working at the gate, but Satan was working inside the walls. I'm telling you, provisions were being made by God outside the gates of this city, but evil was within the hearts of the people in the city. This morning, my burden again is for the children that God has entrusted us with. As a pastor, God has charged me to watch for the souls of the people that come in out of this place. And so I'm entrusted with those that are part of this church. Maybe you have. And please understand, I'm not pointing fingers in any way, but I'm going to just go through a list. Maybe you have infants. Maybe you have toddlers. Maybe you have a young child. Maybe you have a teen. Maybe you have an older teen. Maybe you have young adults. Maybe you're a grandparent. Maybe you're an aunt. Maybe you're an uncle. Maybe you're a sitter. Maybe you're just a light in this world as a church member. Every one of us have a responsibility to these young people. Every one of us. If you're a saved child of God, you have a responsibility to them. And I'm trying to get this burden across in a way I don't want to be over much now. But do not let your hardship fall upon these precious little ones. Don't let your hardships ruin their life. Don't let your hardships fall upon them and put extra burden upon them. Don't let that happen. And if we're not careful, that's exactly what we will do. Oh, woe is me, it's so bad with me that we just forget about what they're going through. You know, during COVID, there's a lot of talk about how COVID was affecting us. How we should, you know, be at church or we shouldn't be at church. We should be able to go to work or we shouldn't be able to go to work. You know, during that time, we had teenagers and young people that did not get a chance to go out into the world to see their friends, to go to school, to learn. During that time, and they were just sitting there, what are we supposed to do? And nobody was really looking. Somehow, Brother Calvin, we lost an entire year of school and they just bumped around through like it never even happened. Just, you know, just hit pause, okay, we'll start back up. You know that these nurses went through nursing school and they missed a whole year of nursing? That's who's at the doctor's office now. Doctors that should have had some important Choices, I suppose, that, you know, they're going to cut on somebody's brain and they
just bump them right on through.
They might be some important decisions out there they have to make. And they didn't receive the teaching to know how to make them. We look up and why in the world is nobody working? I mean, there's jobs open everywhere. I mean, people can't flip burgers for $15 an hour. There was a breach. These young people went through some things. What I'm trying to get across this morning, let's don't cannibalize these young people as we deal with our struggles. You can come to this house of worship and you can appear to be just fine. I want to tell you something about these little ones. They know you at the house. They know you when it's not Sunday. We can look at each other and we can smile and we can say amen and we can shake each other's hands. Oh, I'm just fine and all that. And we put on a smile for a little while. We can sing when the roll is calling up yonder and we can listen intently to a message and walk out these doors and argue and fuss and complain and throw fits all the way home and all through the week. And we can talk about how bad we've got it. And oh, I'm suffering so much. And not even think about them little ones and what they endured. I'm not trying to be hard this morning, but I want to get across the thought. They hear the arguments. You know how they interpret that? Hypocrisy. That's how they interpret it. Well, they shouldn't. I mean, we're human too. I'm going to tell you what we've been charged with. Raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If we miss that, we miss it all. We don't get a do-over. We don't get to say, well, I messed up. Let me try to fix it. Look, you can. I know you've got a certain time where you can, but there's a time whenever they don't look back anymore. All they've ever seen is hypocrisy. They see you make choices and they have to bear the wounds for them choices you make. They witness your selfishness. And they live in fear because of it. They see wars between daddy and mama. And they see hate spewing back and forth. Now, I'm talking about the ones that stay together. The ones that separated. I tell you what. The war over in Afghanistan and all that, it fails in comparison to what a lot of children are witnessing. And I know I'm at Mars Hill, and I know for the most part you don't have this to worry about. I'm so thankful you got certainly you got things together a lot more than a lot of places do. But these women, they decided, we handle this famine on our own. Let's lean to our own understanding. This is just what makes sense. I mean, you can always have other children.
Lord help us.
Precious babies were the cost of that selfishness. Now, you said, Brother Brad, ain't none of us here that inhumane. I'm not talking about the physical side of this. I want you to see the spiritual side. Raise them up so that they'll know the Lord. Raise them up so that when they get older, they won't depart from this. Brother Brad, we're all just human. So are they. And they deserve to be lifted up, not sacrificed upon the altar of self-pity or the altar of selfishness. They deserve better. Look over at Luke chapter 17, if you will. Luke chapter 17. verse 1. Luke 17, verse 1. This said he unto the disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come. I'm sorry, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. We live in a world full of offenses. I'm not trying to preach there should never be offenses. We'd have to get out of this world to not be offended. The idea that our young people being taught in school that they should be able to live without ever being offended, and you find your safe space and somebody hurts your feelings, you run and grab you a bunny rabbit and you sit there and pet it and you feel better. That is garbage. Raise them up to know God's Word is true and right. And raise them up to be men of courage and women that are after God's own heart and men that's after God's own heart, because they will be offended, and there's no human on earth going to be able to prevent these young people from getting offended at some point. But he said this, now he said, it's impossible, but that offense has come, but woe unto them by which the offenses do come. Brother Mitchell, they might get offended. It don't have to be me that does the offending. In fact, it better not be me that does the offending. See, we live in a world, again, full of offenses, and that's impossible that they not be around it. But woe unto you through which they come. It would be better for you to be drowned in the sea. My goodness, Brother Brett, that's mighty harsh. Does God really think it would be better for me to be drowned in the sea? That's what he said. I don't think he was kidding. That's what he said. How could that be? Because, especially if you're here and you're saved, you're here to be a light in this world. You're here to produce fruit, and if you're not producing fruit, might as well be plucked up. You cumber in space. That's scripture. I'm not making that up. You just cumber in space. It'd be better for you to be plucked up. And so, that being said, I want you to see just how serious it is. It would be better to be drowned in the sea than for you to be an offense. And look, none of us are perfect. None of us are going to make 100. There are going to be times when you're going to say something. You might have to go back and I'm sorry I said that. I was upset. He's talking about an everyday, all the time, hindrance to these young people. And there's plenty of them in the world. Here's what will be better than you be cast into the sea. If you've been an offense, you repent and you then bring your burden to the Lord and ask Him to help you not to be an offense anymore. Get yourself right with God. Raise him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Get them in church and keep them in church so they can hear the truth. So that they can be around godly examples. I tell you what, our children ain't going to learn anything from Taylor Swift that's any good. They're not going to learn how to be a good man of God from one of these athletes out there. You say, well, there's some good ones out there. I tell you what, point them to Jesus. He's the standard. That's our job. That's what God has called us to do. Brothers and sisters, that is a massive charge. Mama, listen to me. Are you raising new babies in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? If not, you are an offense. Daddy, you provoking them little ones to wrath? Well, see, you better not do that. Don't provoke these little ones to wrath. Does that mean don't ever make your child mad? My goodness. There's never been a human being ever been born without a temper. You tell that little, they need toddler. You tell them no, you're going to make them mad. They don't like no. They're going to get mad. You have a 16-year-old boy, 17-year-old boy, there's going to come a time when he's going to disagree with the man of the house, because he's becoming the man of the house too. And that's why God said at some point they're going to have to get out and cling to a wife and have their own home. God's calling them to be leaders. There comes a time you got to let go of the bowstring. Let that arrow fly straight. We can't hold on to them forever. They become men. These young ladies, they become young women that's ready to guide the house, ready to be what God would have them to be. And so we raise them up for a reason. But they're going to get aggravated. That's not what he's talking about. Raise them up to be vengeful and wrathful. You know, as a lot of young men, as they go out in this world, and they have been so scarred by men in their life, daddy, whoever it might be, they've been so scarred that when they get out in the world, they hate the world they live in. They hate it. They hate the world. They hate any thought of church. They hate God's people. Just leave them alone. We can be such a hindrance. Men, listen to me now. You can be a hindrance to them boys and girls. You can be a hindrance to them children. I'm encouraging you this morning. I'm not just trying to be negative, but be a stepping stone. Don't be a stumbling block to them. Be a stepping stone. That's what we're here for. Well, I tell you what, I let mine make their own decision. I let them do the things, you know, they're growing up and they got minds of their own. I just kind of let them have at it. That is not what God... He gives you some responsibility to them children. Now, there comes a day when you got to let go of the string. You got to let that air go. Blessed is a man has his quiver full of those arrows. Blessed man. Children are a blessing from God. They are. They're little arrows. We got to let them go at some point. So our job is to be a stepping stone for them. It's not about you anymore. Whenever you have got married and you got children come along, and so I tell you what, I got to have some me time. I got to do it my way. I got to look out for number one. I got to go out with the guys. I got to do all these things. Whenever you have children, God will give you a responsibility. Raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Grandparents, I got mine with me today. We've already probably made some mistakes this morning, I think. And I think we run off without milk. That's not good when you got babies with you. They seem to be doing all right, though. The grandparents, we have a part in the lives of these little ones. But it's not the part now. It is a part. And we have to be careful. And look, I'm preaching to myself right here. See, I'm hanging my head a little bit. You've got to be careful we don't confuse things for them. It's easy for a grandparent to think that those children don't know anything about raising their children. They're my grandchildren. McClay and Caleb are the parents. And so they make the rules. It's my job to enforce them. Boy, that's hard. That's hard. Well, I thought grandparents are supposed to spoil them. We're supposed to love them, and we can love them in a way that the parents don't know how to love them yet. But there is a line there that we have to make sure that we don't want to muddy the waters for them. It's still, you know, it's still a good thing to raise them up according to this word. Even if they're grandchildren. Be careful that we don't confuse them. Be careful that we don't make their parents look foolish in their eyes. Be careful that we don't throw out the rule book. Let me get us. You say, "Brother Brad, I don't have children, or I don't have grandchildren, or we are the church. We have a generation of precious seed coming in among us. And I'm going to tell you something, Morris Hill. God, look around. God has blessed us. His baby's crying all over the place. He's a kid getting up here singing these little songs. And oh, look at him sitting there. Let's just stop just a minute. Just stop and pay attention. This is a house full of children. Listen. Be quiet. Somebody doing something right. Well, Brother Brown, mine's usually hollering and screaming. They do that too. And there's a time and a season for that. And that's all right. That's good. That's good. I'd rather hear these babies crying out than be in a church where you can't ever hear one. They are a blessing. They are the future. We have a generation of precious seed, and you can either be, as a church member, you can be a stepping stone, you can be a stumbling block to them. Your unfaithfulness, listen to me real close, your unfaithfulness will play a part in their lives. If they see you unfaithful, that's going to register down the road. It's going to. It may play a part in their rebellion. Your foolishness that they hear, they see you acting ungodly. They hear you telling some joke on the porch you shouldn't be telling. That's going to register with them. It may register 10 years down the road. And it may be a hindrance to them. Let me ask you, you ever remember somebody in the church house that offended you? I remember we'll see how much of this I want to say. I remember a Sunday school teacher that purchased alcohol for my youth group. I remember it. That was an offense to me. It was a hindrance to me. And it helped me along the road that I didn't need to be on. And it hurt. And I got some years of my life as a teenager that I evermore regret. And that played a part in it. Sunday school teacher. I remember a deacon. Asked me if I want to go hunting. I don't know, 14, 15 years old, want to go hunting. And I got out there on the stand, and I'm out there with a deacon and several church members. And we stood around that dog box, listening to them dogs, couldn't find them, couldn't locate them, just standing around, and they were cussing every breath. And as a young boy, thinking, I have watched y'all raise your hands, wave them back and forth, shout hallelujah in the church house. I've watched y'all do that, and y'all out here cussing around this dog box. That was a hindrance. It hurt. It pointed me in the wrong direction. I remember first time I ever heard of a preacher committing adultery. That devastated me. I'm going to tell you something about my children. My children remember the day they heard of a preacher that they very, 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 very fond of. He taught Bible studies at our church house for the youth near Bible school. And when they found out that, it evermore tore their heart out. They could not believe that. It hindered them. It hurt them. Preacher, in charge of upholding the truth, tearing down these young people. You might as well be cannibals. Might as well just eat them up. That's what you're doing. That's what we're doing if we let them down. I also remember the ones that were faithful. Thank God for them faithful saints, them pillars of the church, those that you look at and you say, they just keep right on going, don't they? I could call them out in this church. I'm not going to. I could call out members in this church. I remember when I was 7, 8 years old, still ticking, chugging right along today. and not just the oldest generation here. Somebody said, well, we know Brother Bud, Brother Calvin, their wives, and we know about that. I'm going to tell you what, it wasn't just that generation. It's the one under them too. I watched y'all whenever I was young, still watching you now, and you're still holding true. Thank the Lord for that. That is wonderful. That is a blessing. We need that. That's light. That is shining bright for these young people. They can see at least that one is doing what's right. And they might catch on to that. They might say, there's something better than what I've been showing. Something better. For that, I just don't know why my adult son or daughter won't come to church. I don't know why. They know better. They know better. I'm gonna throw out a quick, do they? Know better. What have you shown them? How have you hindered them? How have you hurt them? Satan can magnify offenses. And he does. Be careful not to become one. He said, woe unto you by which offenses come. Through which offenses come. Woe unto you. Woe. What do we tell the horse when he's going too fast? Whoa! That's what God's saying to you. Whoa! Don't win against these little ones. Don't you bite and devour them. I want to end on a positive note. This is a very heavy message. I know it's like it sucked all the oxygen out of the room this morning. Let me try to put a little bit back in. I want to end on a positive note. You young people, listen to me just a minute. I'm going to close. I know I've been long-winded this morning, but I'm going to close with this. You young people, even if you have been offended by someone, if daddy hadn't been what he should, or mama hadn't been what she should, or aunt or uncle, or it took advantage of you in some way, or hurt you, whatever the case may be, if you've been offended, if you've seen some church member doing something they shouldn't be doing, they said something they shouldn't have said down at the store, or you've seen them drinking a beer, or whatever the case may be, if you have been offended, I want you to listen to me. Jesus come down to this earth that He saw sinners and He paid the price for sinners. And even though you say, well, I haven't done anything wrong like some of these, you still are in need of a Savior. And so if you will trust Jesus, He will save you. And if you are saved, if you will repent, in other words, don't let that word repent scare you. That means to turn from. That means I know that I need more than what I am. I'm a sinner. I need more than that. I'm going to turn to Christ away from sin. Turn to Christ. I'm going to trust Him. When you do that, He'll save you. And the moment Christ saves you, old things have passed away and all things become new. And if you will look to God the rest of your life, He will direct you. And He can make a masterpiece out of a mess. He can. He can do for you what no man can do for you. In fact, you know Scripture says it's vain as the help of man. Our help comes from the Lord. And I don't want you to leave here thinking, well, Brother Bass said my parents are bad. Or no, look, parents are parents. We're human. Make mistakes. I'm not saying, you know, you need to look, well, you shouldn't ever listen to your parents because they made a mistake here or there. God said, children, obey your parents. It's right. Obey your parents. This morning, I want the parents to know, and us as church members to know, we have a great responsibility to them, to nurture them. Raise them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. Children, you have a responsibility when the Lord deals with your heart to trust Jesus and be saved. And then God can help you to be much more than parents have ever been. I want my children. I know you've heard me say this before. I want my children to grow up and be 10 times the man. My boy, 10 times the man that I've ever been. I want that. I don't want to be half the man daddy was. I want to be 10 times more than I ever was. That should be our goal. Let's pass the baton to them. Last verse.